First Samuel chapter number 1 in your Bibles this morning. And notice there in verse number 9. The Bible says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. She vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord. All the days of his life there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Let's all pray together this morning before we dive into the message today. Father, I pray that you would use this passage, Lord, to challenge us and convict us. Father, as we look at Hannah and, Lord, her desire for a child and, Lord, her giving her child back to you, Father, I pray that we all would leave with that desire to give our all to the Savior. Lord, use me as I preach today in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the book of 1 Samuel, the nation of Israel has experienced a unique time in its history. They've just come off, of course, we're going through Sunday mornings. If you're here Sunday morning, we're going through the book of Joshua. And Joshua is a good, godly leader. Man, he had a desire for God, led the nation of Israel toward the things of God. But when Joshua passed away and the generation after Joshua, the Bible says that the nation of Israel began to go into a cycle of the judges. It was a time of where the judges would reign. And what would take place is the Israelites would do wrong. And boy, God would punish them, and he would allow them to be enslaved by their enemies. And boy, they would be held captive. And then as they would become slaves, the Israelites would cry out to God. And they would say, God, we're sorry. Would you deliver us from this slavery? Would you raise up a deliverer? And you go through the book of the Judges. You read about judges like Samson and Jephthah. And you read about judges like Gideon and some of those like Deborah, some good, godly judges that help the Israelites to do right, and so they would be delivered, they would be set free, and then they would go through a cycle of a time where things were going well and they were doing right, but again they would fall into that pattern again where they would grow cold and they'd walk away from God, and they would get into idolatry and they would go into slavery, and again that cycle would play out. As we come to 1 Samuel chapter number 1, the Israelites are again going through that dark cycle. Man, they're again discouraged. Boy, it's a dark time. And boy, God is not exalted like he ought to be in the nation. The nation has sadly turned its back upon God. And yet, in a time like that, there was still a family that walked with God. And let me say this morning, it doesn't matter what the society may be. It doesn't matter what the religious circles may be saying. It doesn't matter what the politics may be. It does not matter what culture may dictate. We can still raise a family for God in the midst of a dark and a corrupt society. And I think about Abraham. Abraham raised a family to walk with God while everybody surrounding him worshiped all the other gods. God has called us to be salt. He's called us to be light. God has called us to make a difference for him. And the Bible says here in 1 Samuel chapter number 1 that Elkanah, Hannah's wife, was a man that walked with God. And let me just say, dads, I know it's Mother's Day, but let me say, dads, we need some men that are going to walk with God. We need some dads that are going to say, our family is going to walk with God. I thank the Lord for all the godly ladies that are out there. And unfortunately, I find there are many times more godly ladies than godly men, especially in the home. But I thank God for those men, especially in this church, that are willing to say, by God's grace and by God's power, our family is going to serve God. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, he said, as for me and my house. Joshua said, I can't change the neighbors, can't change the co-workers, but he said, for my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's exactly what Elkanah said. He said, you know what? I'm going to serve God, and we're going to go up and we're going to worship God yearly in the temple. Look over at verse number 2. Of this chapter, it says, and he had two wives. By the way, he was crazy, because that's two mother-in-laws right there. But he had two wives, right? And the Bible says the name of one was Hannah. And so Hannah is now on the scene. Look at the end of verse number 2. It says, but Hannah had no children. Hey, we see here in the story what happened. Man, there's two wives. There's struggles in the home. And there's family drama. By the way, I think about a lot of families. There's a lot of family drama. And boy, different things come up. And it may not be two spouses and two wives in the home. But man, there's drama. And there are things that surround the home and the conflicts that are there. And so that was the case with Hannah. But together, the whole family's going up to worship there in the city. Look in verse number 3. It said, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Hey, he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to continue worshiping God. Hophni and Phinehas, they were not godly men. The Bible says later on in chapter number 5 and 6 that Hophni and Phinehas were very immoral. They stole of the sacrifice of God. Eli was a man, when he heard about what was taking place, he confronted them but did not remove them from their priestly office. And so here were two corrupt preachers that were messing with the worship of God, messing with the system of the day. And yet Elkanah and Hannah said, we're going to keep on serving God and doing what is right in spite of what's going on in religious circles. And so, man, we see what's taking place. Again, they come up to Jerusalem. But would you notice, first of all, this morning, here in this passage, would you notice Hannah's problem in verse number 5? It says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And notice, first of all, Hannah's problem. Number one, she was childless. Man, she hadn't had any children. God had shut up her womb. I think about, boy, the desire of a female is to bear children. And boy, that was Hannah's desire. She said, Lord, I want a child. She wanted that fulfillment. She wanted to be able to raise a child for God's glory and for God's honor. And boy, each year she would go up. Each year she'd go to the temple and she would ask God, God, give me a child. Each year she would seek God. God, would you do something? And her prayer was the same. God, I want a child. Why? Because she had a great need. I don't know exactly what your needs may be this morning, friend. You say, Pastor, it's not my kids. I've got my kids here. Maybe I'm talking to somebody this morning and you've got financial needs. And boy, the bank account's low. And boy, you're discouraged about that. And boy, you just, it keeps you up. And I'd be preaching to somebody this morning. And maybe it's the job place. Maybe it's family drama. Maybe it's the health issues that may overwhelm you. I don't know what your issue may be, what may be burdening your heart. But Hannah had a heavy heart. We see, number one, she was childish. Look at the second problem in verse number 6. It says, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Her sister-in-law, what was she doing? Hey, she was making fun of her. And it was a consistent thing. Hey, Hannah, look at all my kids. It's like little kids, Nana, boo-boo, I think about my little daughter, Lila. We call her hot dog for those of you visitors. And, I love it when she sticks her tongue out, And, little kids are, they spit everywhere. And it's quite funny, But that's what's going on with Hannah, right? Here's her sister-in-law. Nana, boo-boo, look at all my kids. Where are your kids? And not only was it one time, but man, it was a continual thing. Man, it was all the time. It was, hey, look at what God's giving you. And boy, I'll be honest with you. Boy, there are times in my life when the problems consistently abound. And boy, it just keeps on coming back. And there's no relief. And there's no moment of break. And it was a continual confrontation. Look at verse number 7. It says, and he did so year by year. When she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. And every year, all the time. And what did it cause? Verse 7, it says, therefore she wept and did not eat. Man, here's a girl. Here's a woman that is very discouraged. She has a major problem. I wonder this morning, what are you going to do with the problems that surround your life? Hey, what are you going to do when the storms of life are raging, as an old song goes? Are you going to ask him to stand by you? Are you going to stand by God? Or are you going to run from God and leave the will of God for your life? We see, number one, her problem. But notice, second of all, here in verse number 9, notice Hannah's prayer. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunken. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. We see number 2 this morning. We see not only did Hannah have a problem, but number 2, I see Hannah had a prayer. Understand, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you may be facing, hey, you can go to Almighty God. The Bible says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friend, you can go to God. And it doesn't matter what may be surrounding you. It doesn't matter how crazy it may be. Hey, I'm so thankful this morning that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have instant access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You realize ancient kings back in the Bible days weren't accessible. Hey, when the Bible says, come boldly under the throne of grace, that was a unique thing. Men in Hebrews, as they wrote that, Augustus Caesar, you couldn't go and visit him. You couldn't go and say, hey man, I have this problem. No, kings were inaccessible. But I'm so thankful this morning that we can go before our King, and we can go before our Savior, and we can go into His presence, and we can spend time with Him, and we can give Him those burdens. It says in Psalm 55, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be proved. She went in prayer out of desperation. She was in bitterness of soul. I wonder, when's the last time, godly mom, that you prayed out of a bitter soul? When's the last time you sought God with tears? When's the last time, boy, you were so burdened about that wayward kid or that grandkid? When's the last time you were so burdened about somebody's soul that, boy, you just went and the tears flowed as you begged God to do something, as you begged God to save them? When's the last time we went before God desiring God to do something wonderful and with a desperate plea? I've been reading on and studying on prayer. We're going to be starting a series here in Sunday school next week on prayer, and just probably 12 weeks going through studying and looking at prayer and how it needs to be a part of our life. But I was studying this week about the Bible, how it talks about groanings which cannot be uttered, and boy, how a groan is from the innermost part of your heart. And boy, I wonder, when's the last time that we poured all our heart to God? When there was that, when it came from that bitterness of our soul. I think about when Jesus prayed, remember, He sweat as it were great drops of blood. Man, Hannah, she had a burden. She went to the Savior. I wonder this morning, Mom, are you going to go to the Lord with your burdens? Dad, are you going to seek His face through with your burdens? Her prayer was a prayer of desperation. Notice in verse number 11. It says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. We see number two, her devotion. Hannah said, God, here's the commitment I'm willing to make. God, if you will give me this child, then God, I'll give this child back to you. She was a devoted individual. I wonder this morning, Mom, are you devoted to the Savior? You know, I'll be honest with you. You know what we need in our, you know what Huntsville needs? You know what your home needs? You know what my home needs? My home needs a wife and a mom that's devoted to Jesus Christ. By the way, they need a dad that's devoted completely to Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, are you devoted to Him? Whose side are you on this morning? Are you on God's side? If you're on God's side, serve God. The Bible makes it very clear, choose you this day whom you will serve. I'm preaching maybe to somebody this morning, and there's never been a time in your life when you have made God your God. Oh, you might know about Him. You might be able to quote some verses. You may know John 3:16. You may have been brought up in church. You may have been baptized as a little kid, but you've never been born again. God's not your God. Jesus Christ is not your Savior. Listen, there are no grandkids in heaven. You realize it's got to be, God has got to be your Father. There's no grandkids. You got to own it. There's got to be that time in your life when you, by faith alone, apart from works, trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. I wonder this morning, has there been that time in your life? Can you go back to a place? Can you go back to a certain location where you trusted Christ to be your Savior? I'll never forget, I was 11 years old. I was sitting on my bed in my bedroom under deep Holy Spirit conviction. I knew that if I died, that I was going to go straight to hell because I was guilty before God. And I remember as an 11-year-old boy, I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm lost. And I know You're the only way to heaven. I said, Lord Jesus, would You forgive my sins? I choose to follow You. Would You be my Savior? As an 11-year-old boy, I wasn't trusting in a prayer my mama made me pray at 5. I wasn't trusting in a baptismal tank. I wasn't trusting in communion. I wasn't trusting in my good works. I was trusting in Christ alone. I wonder this morning, can you go back to that day when you became a true follower of Jesus Christ? When you became one of His own? Are you devoted and have you been born again? But I wonder, Christian, are you devoted to Him as a true follower of Christ? Are you a Christian? A mini Christ? You know, I was mentioning in Sunday school, everybody, it seems, you know, in this area is a Christian. You know, you talk to them, doesn't matter where you go. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, Pastor, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. No, you know what a real Christian is? A Christian is a mini Christ, a copier of Christ. I think about kids, you know. Don't you love when your kids copy you and grandkids copy you? You know, I don't like it when they, you know, when they copy how... Yeah. Now, my grandpa used to blow his nose really weird. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, some guys, my dad and my mom hated it when I tried to copy blowing my nose like grandpa, you know. They hated how he would spit. It was awful. And then we'd be like, you know, trying to copy grandpa, right? You know, it's funny when kids copy you. But you know what I need to be? I need to be copying the Lord Jesus Christ as a devoted follower of him. I wonder today, are you devoted to him? Hannah, we see her desperate cry. She prayed out of desperation. We see her devotion. She said, God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. Notice in verse 12. It says, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Number three, I see she was determined in her prayer. She said, I'm going to keep on praying. It may seem impossible, but I'm going to keep on praying. Man, I hope that's your desire. Christian, I hope that this morning in your prayer life and in your personal life, you're just determined to keep on praying. She just kept on praying. Hey, everybody else, traffic is all around her. Everybody else is doing their thing. And yet there she is. She continues to pray. The Bible says that Eli the priest noticed her. What was she doing? What in the world? It was evident to Eli that she was earnest in her prayer. I wonder this morning, are you an individual that is determined to pray until God answers your prayers? Are you willing to seek his face? We see number one, Hannah's problem. Number two, Hannah's prayer. Look in verse number 19. Notice Hannah's preparation. Actually, look in verse number 14. It says, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And so we see number one, her problem. Number two, her prayer. Notice three in verse number 19, though. Notice her preparation. Eli said, you're going to have a baby. It says in verse number 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Therefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. We see number three, Hannah's preparation. All right, Hannah's now having a baby. Man, what an exciting day that is. Boy, you know, you're running around. You know, kids see Elkanah, man, he's running around all excited, doing cartwheels. You know, he's pumped up, another baby coming to the family. And boy, Hannah knows this is from God. God's going to give me a child. God gave me a man child. God gave me a boy. And boy, the baby's born. And what did Hannah do? I see in her preparation, what did she do? She named her child Samuel. You know, that is this very significant name. The name Samuel, by the way, is the 23rd most popular name in the U.S. But it means asked of God. Hey, I wonder, what Samuels do you have in your life? I wonder, just in passing this morning, can you look back at your prayer life and see, hey, that's a Samuel. That's where God answered specific prayer. That's where God did something for me when nobody else could help me. When nobody else could intervene, God did something for me. I wonder, how long has it been since you've seen Samuels take place in your life? Asked of God and God gave it to me. What a blessing. And what a privilege it is to be able to have that. But boy, Hannah gave her that child, was given that child. And so she said, I'm going to name my child Samuel. It was special in nature. What was her desire? Her desire was for Samuel to be used of God, not temporarily, but forever. Man, she wanted God to use her boy. Oh, I hope this morning, friend, that that's what you desire. Mama, I hope that your desire is for your kids to serve God. I think about my mom this morning. And boy, how thankful she is that her kids are serving God. You say, Pastor, how did that happen? I don't know. There was 12 kids in my family. And really, we don't know how we, you know, turned out even living now. But our house was a madhouse. But you know, I think about the older kids. There's still three at home, but the oldest nine. Man, we're all in church today. Most of us are serving God full-time in the ministry. You know, just have a passion for the things of God. You know what? I think about why. Because there was a mom and there was a dad that had a desire for their kids to go on for God. They wanted us to serve the Lord. Dad and Mom, they didn't want us to be focused on making money. They don't want us to be focused upon living for the trinkets of the world. Man, they want us to be focused upon God. I think about my dad's business. Boy, he's asking the question, who's going to take over our business up here? You know, all the boys are preaching. You know, he's struggling. What's he going to do? Why? Because, man, we're trying to do something for God. Hey, that's what Hannah's desire was. I want my boy to serve God. I wonder, are you, Dad, are you, Mom, preparing your kids to serve the Lord forever? We see her problem. We see her prayer. We see her preparation with Samuel. Notice lastly this morning, notice her presentation. Look in verse 24. It says, when she had weaned him, so he's about 4 or 5 years old. That means, you know, he's able to at least take care of himself. It says that she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. I see Hannah's presentation. What did she do? She came before Eli. Hey, Eli, here's my testimony. Hey, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, remember there was a woman that prayed over here, and boy, you thought she was drunk? Hey, you remember that day? Hey, I want you to know I'm here with the child that God's given me, and I'm giving my child back to God. You know, I wonder maybe Eli had forgotten about her, because she probably assumed she had failed to keep her promise. She said, right here is where I made a decision for God, and today I'm fulfilling it. Hey, I wonder this morning, friend, are you fulfilling your commitments to God? Are you fulfilling those? You said, yeah, I don't know, I might be preaching to somebody this morning, and maybe years ago you made a promise to God to be a witness. You made a promise to read your Bible. You made a promise to witness. You made a promise to stand for God. I don't know what it may be, but are you fulfilling your promises for God? The Bible says, if thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay it. For God hath not pleasures in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. She said, I'm fulfilling my vow. Here's my testimony. God answered my prayer, and I'm giving my child back to God. What a wonderful thing that is. I love what she said there in verse number 28. She said, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. You realize she lent the Lord her child. What a great person to borrow your kids. You think about that? I tell you, I want the Lord to borrow my kids. I want to lend my kids to the Lord. I think about lending things. My sister-in-law lives right across the street from my in-laws, and my mother-in-law sometimes gets a little bit upset because her dishes go missing. You know those that kids live right by, you know, and you know your fancy pot or whatever it may be. And mom will, you know, it'll look for it, can't find it. She'll go over to Carrie's, and boom, there it is, right? And then Carrie argues. She's like, no, that's mine, right? But, you know, you lend your kids something. You lend them money, you're not going to see the money again, most likely, right? You lend your dishes away. They may get feed and walk away. They might not ever appear again, right? But let me say something. One of the best investments you can ever make is to give your kids to the Lord. Why? Because when you give the Lord something, he always returns it doubly, triply. I mean, he always rewards you in a greater, in a more wonderful way. She lent to the Lord. You can lend something to someone and never see it again, but every wise investment is one that is given to the Lord. You will never receive a negative return. I wonder this morning, what are you doing with your investments for the Lord? Are you giving to them? Her testimony, we see she gave her son to the Lord. God answered her prayer. But I think lastly about in her presentation, I think about her legacy. You know, what was Hannah's legacy? You say, Pastor, what's the summation of this story? What's so big about Hannah? Her prayer, her passion for God, her giving her child to God. What was the purpose of it? What's the summary of it all? The summary is, you know what Hannah's testimony is? Man, what a wonderful, wonderful testimony. She was the one that prayed for Samuel. Samuel went on to be the prophet of God in the nation of Israel. He anointed Saul. He anointed King David to be the next king over Israel. Then he went on to do great things for God, impacted the world with his testimony for God. Why? Because it was a godly mom that was willing to give him to the Lord. You know, Hannah's legacy would be this. Proverbs 31, verse 28, the Bible says, her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, when he praiseth her, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. you know, a lasting legacy is not about how much money you have in the bank. It's not about your position, not about the cars that you drive. It's not about the toys and trinkets you have. But it's about, what are you doing to impact your kids and grandkids for the cause of Jesus Christ? And so I wonder this morning on this Mother's Day, I've got two questions for you. First question is this. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you this morning, are you religious? Do you go to church? I'm asking you, you know, all your spiritual endeavors. I'm wondering, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Hannah could go to her God. Hannah could bring her prayers to her father. Why? Because it was personal. Can you go back to that place in your life where you realize that you were a sinner, lost and on your way to a devil's hell? You realize that Jesus Christ was the only way you could go to heaven. And by faith alone, apart from works, you trusted Christ to be your Savior. Are you in the family of God? And then I wonder, Christian, this morning, are you a Christian? Are you an individual that is trying to seek and to serve the Savior? Are you following him? Hannah followed him by bringing her prayers to him. She followed him by preparing her child to serve God. And she followed him by giving him to him, to God. I wonder this morning, are you an individual that is giving and following the Lord Jesus Christ? The choice is yours this morning. I hope today that you'll make the choice, like Hannah did of old, to follow the Savior. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes forward to prayer. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for the reminder of the importance of being like Hannah. Lord, having that personal relationship with you. And then, Lord, I also, if we know Christ as our Savior, of following you and giving our burdens to you. Father, I pray this morning that we would make lasting Bible decisions based upon the message that's been preached. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, a time of decision. But I wonder how many this morning would say, Pastor Schwanke, truth be told is I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. There's never been a time in my life that I realized I was lost and heading to hell. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I realized this morning that I need to do that. I need to make him my Savior. Pastor, I'm concerned about my soul. Would you pray for me? If that's you this morning and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I would like to pray for you. I promise you I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. But I would like to pray for you. I wonder how many this morning would say, Pastor Schwanke, that's me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have that personal relationship with Christ. But I'd like for you to pray for me. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? That's me, Pastor. Would you pray for me? Well, I'm concerned about my soul. I want to get that settled this morning. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Good. Good. Praise the Lord for that. Good. Anybody else? That's me, Pastor Schwanke. Pray for me. Man, I want to get that settled today. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. You're here this morning, you raise your hand, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. The Bible says that you can know you're on your way to heaven. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. He is buried and he rose again, according to the Word of God. Friends, you've got to make the choice to turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. I'd love to encourage you to do that today. But I wonder lastly this morning, how many Christians would say, Pastor, I need to follow God like Hannah did. I need to bring my burdens to the Lord like Hannah did. God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me this morning? If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? God spoke to my heart. Good. Man, praise the Lord. Good. Amen. Number of hands. Number of hands. Well, Father, thank you for these that have raised their hand. Thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. Now I pray that we'd respond in a biblical way. Lord, I pray that we would all leave determined to be like Hannah. In Jesus' name, amen.